Welcome to Questions in Sustainability, a science-based podcast series that explores programs, people, and ideas in sustainability of food systems. I am Professor Paul Vincelli from the University of Kentucky, and I'll be your host today. And we've got a very special guest to speak with us today that it's going to be a pleasure to introduce. Before I introduce her, I do want to say one of our sort of our standard introductions, and that is that we appreciate it, Questions in Sustainability, all of our guests who offer their time and their expertise to Questions in Sustainability. And of course, the views expressed by our guests, or by yours truly for that matter, do not necessarily represent those of the University of Kentucky. So with that, let me introduce our guest. And our guest is Donna Isaacs, who is a farmer and a very accomplished individual in other ways, as we'll find out. And Donna's here today. Usually we, as you know, if you listen to this podcast, we bring in scientists and social scientists and have a great experience. But Donna's a very different guest in that way. And she, I think she's got some ideas that tweak my brain and make me think, you know, and pause and are maybe a little bit out of the box for the kinds of people I would normally invite on the program. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to expand my thinking, and I hope that today's program helps all of our listeners in the same thing. So anyway, with that, I'll introduce Donna Isaacs. And Donna, welcome to Questions in Sustainability.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and to talk about some of the things that we're doing at Campty Field of Dream.
So Excellent. Go ahead. Sorry.
So I'll give you a little background.
Give us, yes.
So I serve as executive director for a nonprofit organization based in Louisiana. The organization was founded in 2001. And its name is Campty Field of Dreams. And the goal of the organization, or the mission, is to improve the quality of life for those in underserved communities and rural America. Most of our work to date has been in Louisiana. And I joined the organization in 2013. So I've been here growing what was a very small organization that was focused on community development and economic development, and has done everything from running a museum to operating food, call it a food bank, just painting murals, helping people fix their homes up, helping seniors wherever they needed it, you know, just helping members of the community. So when I came to Louisiana with a background in sustainable construction. And I had been teaching for the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. Prior to that, I was teaching for the University of Florida's Extension Program. Doing LEED exam prep workshops for construction professionals to prepare them to become LEED accredited professionals. Well, for the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, we started to combine green building with the Secretary of Interior Standards for Historic Preservation and teach what I called was green rehabilitation. So that's what brought me to Louisiana, was an interest in the built environment, great appreciation for the bicentennial buildings that they had here, the farms, the old bicentennial farms that were on the National Register of Historic Places that had all exemplified green building principles, built from the materials that were on site, often milled on site, using cultural techniques and really working with the environment, and are still in place today. So that's what brought me here. I fell in love with the environment. However, when I started working with folks to, you know, fix up their homes, the poverty in Louisiana, as in much of the Delta, is really high. And so working with people to get their homes, to work on the built environment. And I met a lady who, and I, you know, not in my life would I have fathomed that somebody was actually getting $16 a month in food stamps. She had worked all her life. Her husband had passed away. She was in her 80s, and she had been hospitalized because of her building. And so started working with her to get her building fixed up and rehabilitated. And so we started doing programs with USDA to share with people the information that they had about programs that could help them rebuild their housing stock. And that led to more outreach for USDA. We got a cooperative endeavor agreement with USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service. And we started to educate people about the programs that were out there. And that has grown over the years. So, you know, we've done things. We started with community gardens, and then we eventually started a farm. And we developed a 25-acre sustainable agriculture demonstration farm, because the need for nutritious food far outweighed anything else in the community. And so that took me down a totally different path. And it also took the organization down a totally different path, where food and sort of going back. We started a series, a conference, an annual conference called Back to Your Roots, bringing in thought leaders in sustainable agriculture to Louisiana to teach people how to grow regeneratively and really to nurture that history and rich heritage of living on the land in Louisiana. I mean, we're known for our food, we're known for an amazing culture, but people had stopped farming. And so it's to sort of ignite that love of the land once again. And so we've been doing that now for 7 years. We're in our seventh year with NRCS. And so that's what took me to the No-Till Conference to learn more about that. And
that's where we met. Actually.
That's where, at the No-Till Conference. Exactly, at the No-Till Conference. Because I don't know if you know of this African term, it's Sankofa, go out and fetch it. And it's something that I learned a while back and definitely try to do if there is knowledge out there that we can harness and bring back to the community, then it's our duty to do that. So, so yes, so we met at the No-Till Conference and we started to talk about some of the current work and the work that we're about to embark on, which I greatly appreciate you giving me this platform to share it.
And well, I'd like to hear, I'd certainly like to hear more about it actually. And so I'm quite happy about it.
Go ahead.
I think I caught you in mid-sentence.
I was going to say that so we're really, really excited to announce that we were selected. We have been selected as one of 19 awardees for the USDA Conservation Innovation Grant. So in December of last year, we received notification that we were awarded $1,080,676, I think is the exact number, to support 20 no-till organic market gardeners here in Louisiana for a three-year period. And I'm really excited about this opportunity because we get to work with farmers to build their soil health, to really work to implement no-till along with other regenerative agriculture practices, as well as build their economic well-being. So the way the program is set up, it's not just teaching them how to grow their own food and to do it using sustainable or regenerative practices. It also is to help them build their financial well-being and in turn build the health and well-being of the community.
Of the community, yeah, it's definitely. We will talk more about the grant here in just a minute, and it's pretty important, folks who are listening, because it was what one of the things that really drove me to say, you know, I want to see if we can interview Donna for this, for our program here. So just for those who may not know about this granting program that she's referred to, the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Group has a funding program called the Conservation Innovation Grants. And as Donna mentioned, 19 projects were funded. And those, I'm looking at the titles of these and the grant amounts, and they range from several hundred thousand dollars all the way up to well over $1 million, some larger even than Donna's. Let's see if I can find it real quick to give the title of the grant that you received. And as I look, I'll say, folks, that was really important. Here it is. Yeah. So the title of the grant project that they got funded is No-Till Organic No-Till Organic Market Gardens, Restoring Soil Health and Rebuilding Local Food Systems. And Donna is the manager, the executive director of the program that they're about to embark on with this funding. And Louisiana is definitely the lead state. And so that's what got me interested in that and something else you said when we met. You talked about decentralized food systems. And I thought, well, I'd want to hear more about that. So anyway, that's kind of laying open the door for you to say more about anything you want.
Well, and so going back to that decentralized food system and food security, and I think, you know, this comes from the fact that I was born and raised in Jamaica, didn't migrate to the United States until 1984. So I spent most of my childhood in Portland, Jamaica, and we have natural disasters just like you do in Louisiana. Our hurricane was Hurricane Allen. You know, I left Jamaica after Hurricane Allen came to Miami, had Hurricane Andrew. So living through natural disasters was something that I was familiar with. But the way they were handled, and partly because Jamaica is a third world country, you know, where we don't have 911 and we do have a system, but if you're in the rural parts, you know, you have to take care of yourself. You have to be self-sufficient. And my recollection of that experience was that the hurricane came through, a lot of homes were lost. The road was actually, to the capital of the parish, was actually totally destroyed. The bridge was washed out. And for people to get to the capital, they had to go through the mountains. And for many days, the entire community would eat at our house because my dad had pigs, chickens, my uncle had cows, you know, other people had goats, and there was food. There were perennial things like ackee, breadfruits, you know, bananas, plantains, and we all survived. We all survived. And so coming here, where in studying the oral histories of over 80 people done by the Cane River National Heritage Area, I saw that food, whether they called it a truck patch, whether they called it, you know, or so-and-so's uncle was the butcher, or so-and-so would make the best pies. And so there was this wonderful local food system that in communities right here in Louisiana that had been destroyed. And specifically, there was a friend of mine lived on Highway 1220, which had a Rosenwald school there. It was a 5-room Rosenwald school. And he said when they built the high school, it took 3 buses to take the kids, to bus the kids from where the Rosenwald school was out to the main highway where the new school was. That is all the families that used to live on that road. However, with this new system, all of that area is now farmed by one farmer who does not live there, okay? And so that was my introduction to how impactful this centralized food system was. But then when you saw things like Hurricane Andrew and Hurricane Katrina and sea level rise in Florida and other impacts of climate change, it made a decentralized food system so much more important to food security. You know, if we have 20 farmers, which is what this grant affords us in Louisiana, small farmers spread out throughout the state, and hopefully, you know, that 20 will get 20 more, and there, you know, it will continue to grow. Then each of those communities now become a resource for those, each of those farms become a resource for those communities. enhancing food security locally. And so there's a lot of work for us to do, but that to me is the best way for us to really start to talk about and tackle our food problems.
Yeah, very good. That's well thought out. I you know, the thing that I wanted to make sure I said was it, folks, you don't get $1 million grant without having good ideas. And so that was pretty powerful for me that you were being asked to lead this kind of project. So I want to hear more about the grant, if we can make a shift to that. Have we covered the sort of the background pretty
sure,
well?
I think so. So the grant was really the ideas, the concept for the grant. And I think I do not think that I am unique in this. I think there is a wonderful growing movement in regenerative agriculture, in understanding the importance of taking care of our soil, of taking care of our, of feeding that ecosystem and supporting that ecosystem, because that's what supports us. And so the base of this grant looks at how do we destroy our soil? And it starts with tillage. That's the first thing that we do that totally destroys the ecosystem. And so the concept behind it is because so many people think that they have to till. And, you know, coming here, we had never tilled in Jamaica. I'm not saying other farmers don't. I'm not talking about sugarcane and, you know, bananas and things like that. But on our small farm, there was no tractor. Tillage was never done. I truly lived in a permaculture food forest before I knew what a permaculture food forest was, right?
Yeah, that's a great statement.
You know, so coming here and seeing the need to till, but I got pulled into it like everybody else. You've got to till the ground, okay? You can't grow any food here without tilling the ground. And that destroys the ecosystem. It destroys the soil structure. It's so damaging. So that was the foundation. The foundation was we were going to show people that you can farm without tillage. But it became even more pressing when I purchased a small 14-acre property a couple of years ago. And it happened to be right before COVID and right before we had 5 hurricanes hit Louisiana. And so we had several storms, trees were down, and I was trying to grow food here on our small market garden. And first it was too wet to get in the fields, then it dried out and it was too dry, we were drought. You know, it was just one thing after another. And I started a patch that was about 60 by 40, maybe. And all I did was put the wood chips down and covered it and then planted in the ground. And that was our best patch on this property because it built the soil. There was no tilling. There was nothing. And to this day, it still is. And so that gave me the idea. It's like, I knew this from going in, but this was the first time I had to do it on any scale and how to scale that up. And so that's what this grant looks at. It looks at and provides the tools. There is a gardening toolkit that comes with the grant that each of the 20 farmers will participate in and will receive that will get them started on no-till organic market gardens. It's on a small acreage. It's a quarter of an acre. All 20 farmers are committing the same size to work, to grow fruits and veggies on a quarter acre. And it has to be done organically, no synthetic chemicals, no herbicides, no pesticides, no, none of the sides, and not organic either. So it's going to be, our goal is to really build the biology. One of the reasons I participated in the no-till conference was because I wanted to learn more about BRICS and using the refractometer to be able to evaluate how well our plants are doing, you know, especially when we're going out and working with these farmers to check on it. Grant, so in addition to the toolkit, the grant covers education. It's 3 years of support that we provide for the farmers. They get training, they get soil testing, they get technical expertise, they get business expertise to help them grow their agribusiness. And they also learn about other ways to build the local food system and give back to the community. So it really does cover quite a few different things and different aspects.
Yeah. I am so sorry you're so far away, because actually I would enjoy actually being there with you when you take the BRICS measures. We'll talk about more about that sometime, but too involved to spend much time on it today. But let's take a break, and folks, I usually take just a very short break. It might be a minute or two to refresh the mind, and we'll have a musical interlude. And the main thing is to refresh the mind and take a short break. And then when we come back, we'll be speaking again with Donna Isaacs, who is a farmer at De La Terre Farm, and also the executive director of a very substantial grant from the USDA's conservation. What is it? An information grant.
USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service Conservation Innovation Grant.
That's what it was. Innovation, yeah. Conservation Innovation. I couldn't think what the I stood for. Okay. Conservation Innovation Grant. And so, we'll continue our discussion with her when we come back. This is Paul Vincelli, a professor from the University of Kentucky, and the host of Questions in Sustainability. And today we have with us Donna Isaacs, who is a farmer of De La Terre Farm, and also the executive director of a very, very substantial grant from the Conservation Innovation Service. And really, you don't get those grants, folks, without having some really good ideas. And so that's why I invited her in, is to get some new insights. So Donna, thanks again for joining us today. And we'd like to hear, I think the thing I'd like most to hear and give you the chance to talk about is you know, you're at the stage where you're sort of recruiting people,
right,
like farmers, to serve in this capacity. So what, tell us about that.
So we are actually, so we had 10 farmers that were already signed up as part of the application process that had commitment letters that we will be using. But we have 10 slots. Now, this first grant is dedicated to farmers who are in Louisiana. You need to meet the criteria of historically underserved by the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service. So we're looking for farmers that are either beginning farmers, meaning they've farmed for less than 10 consecutive years. They are socially disadvantaged, whether it is African-American, Native American, whatever the criteria is, a veteran or a limited resource farmer, meaning their income is at or around the poverty level. If you meet any of those criteria, then you become an eligible farmer. Now, we only have 10 spots, so we also have other guidelines that we're looking for. You need to have a quarter of an acre that you're going to dedicate to no-till organic market garden production. You're going to set aside that quarter of an acre and basically commit it to this practice for a period of 3 years. You need to want to improve your financial standing by growing produce for your community. Now, that produce does not have to be sold. If you are a church or, you know, if you just want to grow for members of your community, that is fine. If you don't want to sell it, the goal is not necessarily that you have to sell it. We will be tracking your yield. And so each year we're anticipating increased yields as part of this grant. But what we're really tracking is the improvement to your soil health. And we're doing that with multiple tests. We'll be doing a total nutrient digest, total organic carbon. We'll be doing a POXI test, aggregate stability test, the Haney test, and a phospholipid fatty acid test. All of those tests will be included in the package at no cost to the participant. So the participant will be getting testing free of charge. They will also participate in, and need to commit to participating in the training, the lectures that teach you how to grow organically with no-till practices. And then your farm business, growing your farm business and your local food system. For participating and for setting aside the land and implementing the practice, there is a farmer incentive. So each year, in payments of $2,000 allotments, each farmer will get $6,000 a year to participate in this program. They also get the toolkit to get them started. So they'll be able to, all the tools that they need to be able to implement the practice will come as part of this. So we've tried to think of most things and what we, you know, things like seeds, you can grow what you want. So things like seeds would come out of your funds, but we've tried to think of most of the other things that you would need to build your soil and provide that as part of the grant. To participate, folks need to email me. That would be Donna, D-O-N-N-A, at CampTyFieldOfDreams.org. D-O-N-N-A at CampTy, C-A-M-P-T-I, Field, F-I-E-L-D, of, O-F, Dreams, D-R-E-A-M-S, .org. Or they may call me at 318-521-4998. Now, I know you're not supposed to give out your phone number, but listen, it really is the easiest way to get through to me.
I think that's your call. And you so, know, yeah, that, yeah, I was wondering, that was the next question is how do they contact you?
Yeah.
So you're taking care of that.
So please reach out to me and I will give you the instructions for what you're going to need to do to participate in the program. We do have a selection committee, so you will have an application to complete. You will also need to get your farm and tract number for the designated quarter acre plot. And that is what we're going to use as one of the things as criteria to show that you're eligible for NRCS EQIP practices. And once you've completed the application, we're going to assess them and we will be selecting 10 people from across the state of Louisiana to participate in this program to add to the 10 that we already have, which are not just farmers. We actually have some nonprofit organizations that are going to do community gardens and school gardens as part of this program. So we will have a total of 20 farms funded in this program.
Mm-hmm. You know, early on in the interview, you mentioned the importance of your work towards improving quality of life. And I just want to highlight that because listeners know that I've talked about, I've been a natural scientist in agriculture for 30 something years. And it depends on how you count graduate school, it'd be close to 40 if you count graduate school. And, we natural scientists do great things. I think we do really contribute as do the social scientists, but the quality of life pillar of the sustainability triangle, I just don't think we spend as much time thinking about that as we should, we natural scientists. I don't think we're ignoring it. I really don't. I think we just get caught up in the details of, the analytical work that we do. Right. And so, I like to mention it in the podcast and certainly it sounds like this is exactly what you live, your life is about.
Right.
Donna.
You know, one is making sure that more money is going into the farmer's pocket because that can help them live a better life, but there is also the health and well-being of the farmer and the family. And we've seen a lot of farmers, we've talked about it, we've heard about it, that farmers are committing suicide. I mean, they're getting to the point where they're so stressed out and really, just they feel like they're out there and alone. And that was something that we wanted to make sure that we were always open and available to the farmer. We have a monthly meeting where we will be meeting with the farmers to just touch base and see how things are going. Because while we are loners and we really enjoy working with the animals and talking to our plants, but at the same time sometimes we need that support out there, and that's a big part of it too. So we've tried, you can never ever say you have a perfect program. There is no such thing, but we really have tried to think about the health and well-being of the farmer, of the participants, and then how that would positively impact the community. It's not just that they're growing a product. They are a member of a community, and how can we help them do that and do it better? So that's part of this grant as well.
Yeah, that's great. Really, really inspiring, Donna. So, one final note that you'd like to share. You know, is there anything we've not covered that must be covered, or have we done a good job in this?
I think we've done a fairly good job in covering everything. There is one more thing that I would like to share, sure. And I think that I really am excited about the regenerative agriculture movement, this grassroots farmer-led movement that is growing throughout the country. There are a lot of people out there doing wonderful things, and we're learning how to really nurture our soil and nurture our ecosystem and help regenerate it. And what we're finding is that if we help nature, nature pays off very, very quickly. We thought that it would take, you know, hundreds of years to rebuild soil organic matter and sequester carbon and things like that. But we're now with the research seeing that we can do that a lot faster. So folks, just get out there, get in your backyard. There are a lot of resources coming out through NCAT, through SARE, to help you to grow regeneratively. And we need to take control of our food system again. And you can do it. If we all get out and start growing, we can do it together.
Well, Donna, thank you. That's excellent, excellent point. Really good. You're inspiring me. I can tell you that. So I want to recruit your help in one small task here that may continue on past the recording session. But you know that I include featured music to sort of remind everyone about the importance of the quality of life pillar in sustainability.
Sure.
And I have a lot of things to consider in choosing music, including it has to be something I can use freely. But I don't want to miss the chance to ask you, is there any music genre that comes to mind that I should be looking at for this podcast? I'll just leave the question there and see what you think.
Music genre?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I am Jamaican. I would say a little Bob Marley.
Okay, I'll see what I can find.
A little reggae music. Okay.
Some reggae, if not Bob Marley. I love it. I love it. Okay, I will look. So,
all right.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks again, Donna. So,
thank you very much for having
me.
We
appreciate your time and ideas. So, folks, once again, we were speaking with Don Isaacs, a farmer in Eros, Louisiana. And with some grand ideas, and it's going to be fun to run into you again someday and see how things are going. So Donna, thank you. And my name is Paul Vincelli. I'm a professor at the University of Kentucky. You're listening to Questions in Sustainability, and we hope to have you back again.
Thank you very much, sir.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This next song is telling you just how I feel about the music. It's very dear to my heart, right? It's one of my latest. I wrote it years ago, but I really love this one. My music is for sale, but not my soul. my soul ain't for sale. I cannot fail, cause my soul ain't for sale. My soul ain't for sale. My soul ain't for sale. I cannot fail, cause my soul ain't for sale. I wanna go in that burning pit, just for no fame. I will be going in that burning pit, just to hear them shout my name. I will be going in that burning pit, just for no fame. I will be going in that burning pit, just to hear them shout my name. My soul ain't for sale. My soul ain't for sale. I couldn't fail, cause my soul ain't for sale. My soul ain't for sale. My soul ain't for sale. I cannot fail, cause my soul ain't for sale.
My time.